Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ben A. Russell.
No, we're just going to take, I'm going to get my sweet revenge while David's away.
I know. There's literally nothing David can do about it. We can say anything.
I wonder if he's listening right now.
Oh, hi David.
We're going to do
great job without you. Don't worry about it. But yes, David and Neil are out doing other things today. David has been lucky enough to pop over to a different state, which is such a luxury these days.
Imagine that.
Yeah. They're lucky to have him in South Australia today.
Yeah. But Neil's having lunch with Nigella Lawson.
I know, one-on-one. When he told me about that, he was like, oh yeah, on Sunday I'm going to be having lunch with Nigella. And I was like, oh, first name basis. Didn't take long. I don't believe you've met in person. But we do have a jam-packed show today.
We do.
And so just to run everyone through what they can expect, we have Jake Howie, who is a comedian, talking to us about their new Comedy Fest show coming up very soon. We have Peter Knight, who is an artistic director of the Australian Arts Orchestra. We're going to be speaking with Betty Sargent from Plug In Human about a really cool digital performance that's happening in Shepparton. And we're going to be speaking with Angelo Candelapis, who is the architect who was awarded the NGV Contemporary Building Design. And finally, we'll be chatting very briefly with Hannah Fox, who is the co-artistic director of Rising Festival. And we should also say a thank you to the Three Chords and the Truth guys that were on just before us as well. But it wouldn't be right to start the show without talking about films.
Oh my goodness, Eve, there is so much going on, so you have to forgive me if I just rattle through them at an alarming rate.
Okay, remember to breathe.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's literally almost film Christmas tomorrow. It's the Oscars, and I will be having a champagne-fueled party. But there's actually quite a lot of Aussies up for possible gold statues tomorrow, so I thought we'd do a little quick run through of, some of what you can expect. Now, I think the American film Coda, about a predominantly deaf family, is probably going to get Best Picture, but the other one that's in still a little bit in the running, I think, is The Power of the Dog by Jane Campion, the New Zealand director. I'm not going to do that Aussie thing where we claim her. But however, the film does also present Australia's best chance in the race tomorrow because we have Cody Smith McPhee up for Best Supporting Actor for his incredible turn as a real kind of unwriting of the toxic masculinity of the Western.
Ooh.
So he is a good bet, also probably against Coda's Troy Kotsur, but he's got a good chance, I would say. Then Ari Wegner is up for the film's lush cinematography, and this would be spectacular win because not only is she disgracefully, not her disgracefully, but disgracefully on a par of the Academy, only the second woman ever nominated in a gender-neutral category.
Oh my gosh, that's shocking.
Which is, 2017 was the first for Rachel Maestra for Mudbound. Now, Ari is only the second woman ever nominated, never mind one. So if she wins, it will be history-making. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
If we could get that one, that would be quite spectacular. And then also one of the producers, Emile Sherman, is Australian. So, if it gets Best Picture, he technically shares in that award. So that's all very exciting. Obviously, our Queen Nicole is up for playing Lucille Ball in Being the Ricardos.
Oh, I thought that was very interesting casting.
Yeah, it really was. And, it took a bit of slack, but I enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to win that one, but, she's kind of getting to that level of, Meryl Streepness, where you just get nominated regardless of
whether
the film's any good or not, it's just sort of in that category. No, you know. And there's also Mel Burney and Greg Fraser is up for cinematography for June.
I didn't know that was a Mel Burney.
So there you go. You know, we've gotten really, really well. And there's a whole bunch of other ones, including Perth-based company Last Pixel have fielded the live-action short Please Hold, directed by K.D. Davila. You've got Pete Siebris is up for an editing award, Amber Richards for production design, and I'm pretty sure I'll have missed some people out. But, you know, we've got a really good fielding tomorrow. So listen out for the Aussie accents, possibly in, you know, acceptance speeches would be really amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential to really clean up, it sounds like.
I know. I have this feeling in my bones, Eve. We're going to get one, at least one. I just know. All right.
Going to gamble on it?
No.
Because we don't endorse that.
No, we do not. I got really cranky last night when I was watching a film in the cinema and Sports Bet ad came on. I was like, grrr.
Me too. I really don't understand why they're allowed on television.
Not into it. I hope we've not got any teed up on it.
Yeah. Anyway, if they're sponsored, it's a different story.
Sorry. Anyway, you know what else? I'm gonna jump from the Oscars, Eve. Unfortunately, for reasons beyond the realm of knowledge, I wasn't on 2 weeks ago. I'm not bitter about it, but, you know, moving on.
We'll write an angry letter.
I'll email it now. So I never got to speak about the French Film Festival, which is pretty much, you know, one of my favourite, you know, arts calendar moments in the year. So I thought a nice way of doing it, with there's still a good couple of weeks left of the programme, so I thought very quickly I'd just round up three of my favourites, Eve, that I can highly recommend people go and see.
Go on.
So number one, without fail, not even a moment's hesitation, would be the new film from Portrait of a Lady on Fire director Celine Sciamma, who's, you know, fast become kind of like the leading light in the new generation of French filmmakers. She also did the incredible film Girlhood.
Oh, yeah.
She has not put a foot wrong in her career. Honestly, films like Tomboy, Water Lilies, they're all emotionally spectacular films. And the latest does not disappoint. It's Petite Maman.
This looked like an interesting concept.
Do you know what it really is? It's one of those films, Eve, I don't want to say too much about it, but the general gist to go in knowing is that essentially a young girl is helping her parents to clear out her grandmother's house after her death. And so, you know, it's a little emotional. And while the parents are kind of tidying up the house, she goes into the woods and meets another young girl. And I'm not going to say any more because things get a little bit trippy from there on in. But look, this is 72 minutes long, which, you know, is unheard of in this day and age where films are stretching out to 2.5-3 hours. But the emotional wallop it packs in that short time is incredible. I walked home along Chapel Street in floods of tears from one end to the other. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it now.
I mean, that really says something, because when I watched the trailer, I was like, okay, don't watch the trailer if you haven't seen it because it gives too much away.
Okay.
But I wondered what the arc was with it. So the fact that it stayed with you really says something.
And look, it really is unusual arc. So that's all I'm going to say. Look, Petite Maman at the French Film Festival, 5 stars.
5 stars?
No, absolutely. Ring-a-ding-ding. Throw an Oscar its way now. Look, it wouldn't be the French Film Festival if there wasn't a Juliette Binoche film in there. And there are not one but two for your money this year. Normally I love the filmmaker Claire Denis. She's, you know, Binoche plays the lead in her film Fire. Didn't rate it, so we'll move on very quickly to Between Two Worlds. This is the second film from Emmanuel Carrère, and he's done a bit of a Ken Loach. So he's taken a investigative journalist's story who basically went into the gig economy by posing as someone impoverished and kind of wrote a story about the circumstances that workers on the margins face. But sometimes these films feel a little like poverty porn.
I wondered.
Right? So what I love about this one in particular, so Juliette Binoche plays an author who does the same thing to try and, you know, make friends with all these cleaners working late at night. But the film really prosecutes the morality of, you know, putting yourself into that falsely. And that's why I really enjoyed it, because there's a lot of films that look at this sort of material, but very few that interrogate whether that's an appropriate way to do it or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's Between Two Worlds. I'm giving 4 stars.
Wow, that's pretty good as well.
Love Binoche. Love Binoche. And lastly, Tunisian-born filmmaker Leila Bouzid's A Tale of Love and Desire. Now, this is an absolute cracker. It basically stars Sami Utabali, who people might know from Sex Education. And he plays a kind of really conservative, Parisian Algerian youth who's gone to study erotic poetry at the Sorbonne. So he's already kind of...
Can you study that?
Apparently so. I mean, it's France.
I have to go.
So he's kind of looking at that and, you know, he's kind of a bit out of his own world there. But then he kind of falls for the free-spirited Farah, played by newcomer Zebdia Belhamor. And she is a recent arrival from Tunisia, and she doesn't really, you know, she's kind of freed herself of social expectations. It's a kind of real worlds collide romance, and we don't get to see enough sort of French-Arabic perspective. So, and the filmmaker herself comes from Tunisia. I thought this was really beautifully done, beautifully shot. It's a Parisian story we don't see enough of. Cannot recommend it enough. That is A Tale of Love and Desire, which I'm giving 4 stars.
Generous today.
I know, I'm throwing them out. And I've raced through it so fast that we're going to have plenty of time for a song, because I'm going to quickly wrap up with my final one, Eve.
Go on, Stephen.
Which is not in a festival. I took myself last night to see the latest horror film from horror maestro Ty West. He's done heaps of spooky movies, including he did one of the segments in VHS. Now, he's kind of assembled... So the film's called X, and he's assembled a whole bunch of actors. Now, a lot of them have been in horror films themselves. So you've got Jenna Ortega, who's in the new Scream. You've got Mia Goth, who was in the redo of Suspiria. You've also got a whole bunch of other people like Kiwi, Martin Henderson, Brittany Snow, who people might know from the Pitch Perfect movies, which is a world away from what we're talking about now. But and rapper and Don't Look Up star Kid Cudi also. And
great.
It's a great cast, and the setup's really interesting. So it's set in the 70s. These are essentially guerrilla porno makers. So they go to some, you know, back of beyond farm in the deep south. They rent a barn. They don't really tell anyone that they're going to shoot a porno. And all I'm going to say is the owner of the farm, it's slightly different, right? So normally you'd think this would be a big moralistic kind of horror film, you know, where the people have sex so they die. That's the rules, right?
That's America.
There you go. Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
But this kind of twists it on its head a little bit, because basically, I don't want to give too much away, but basically the killing spree starts because slightly older people feel that they're not getting enough, and it's kind of like a jealousy rage, which I thought was a really intriguing twist on the usual, you know, sort of slasher morality where bad young people get chopped up because they shouldn't be having sex, but basically the oldies want to have sex, so watch out, people.
That's so interesting, because I watched the trailer for this one.
Yeah.
And it looks like a really good time. It's interesting because it kind of almost seems like it's setting itself up as a comedy, and then it looks like it shifts into gear with being like quite gratuitously
there's some spectacular gore in there, is all I'm going to say.
But I wondered, because like there was one bit I saw where someone is freaking out because one of the older people maybe is in a bed with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this a bit ageist? Are they just freaked out because they're old? And then
I mean, possibly, yeah. Although the one interesting twist I'm going to say on that is that, funnily enough, already in the can, because I think this happened during lockdown, is a prequel that is based on the older woman and tells what happened to her, how she came to be in this situation. So I take your point, but I think Ty West already has an answer waiting in the wings. We'll just have to hold on for maybe a year or so to find out.
Very cool.
But look, that is X in cinemas now, and I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. It was a good time.
It was a good time, but not a five-star.
Not a ring-a-ding, not like Petite Maman.
Okay, great. Well, you heard it here first. Thank you so much, Stephen. I'm glad that you finally got your moment to talk about films, having been stripped of that.
Absolutely
in previous...
Absolutely.
I hope David's listening.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.